So as I was saying, when we first found out about, the schools here in Austin shut down on March 13th, the court quickly sprung into action. You know, OCA, the Supreme Court hadn't issued any emergency orders yet, but OCA went ahead and sent out emails to all of the judiciary recommending that they suspend all hearings, all in-person proceedings, and basically to kind of vacate the courthouses to, because at the time everybody was saying we needed to kind of start sheltering in place, et cetera. So we jumped into it and sort of got the ball rolling just before the court issued its emergency order. And when the court issued its order, they went ahead and authorized remote hearings to be conducted. And the judiciary, as you know, most, and I think even for a lot of lawyers, it's not something that we generally were accustomed to doing, actually having presentations remotely like this. I had never heard of Zoom. I think most judges had not either. But David had already been working on trying to figure out what kind of tools were available. So by March 24th, we had secured something like 4,000 licenses on Zoom that we made available to any court and court personnel at any level, from the highest courts to the appellate courts to the trial courts, muni courts, any judge in the state that needed a platform, because obviously they didn't have to use Zoom, but anybody that needed a platform to use Zoom to conduct their hearings, we had a system in place. And not only did we have all the licenses, but because we were sort of a super user, we also had like a super administrator who could make sure that a lot of the settings that if you were to just go get Zoom on your own and you'd have to figure out privacy settings and what are the best ways to set this up. We had someone here at OCA that took care of all that for the judges. We also had trainings that we put on for them. We had webinars for them. And then we also had a full page on our website. We had a court, a COVID response page that had everything from all of OCA's recommendations, all of the emergency orders that had been issued, and then a full complete page on how to do Zoom and best practices and things they needed to be thinking about. So we went ahead and put all that out for the judiciary. And then on May 4th, we obviously some things, it's very difficult to do by Zoom and needed to be done in person. And so the courts were looking for guidance as to what is it that we need to be doing in order to, conduct, if we're going to start allowing people to come in, what do we need to do? And so OCA worked very closely with the Department of State Health Services, and we were in constant contact with them to consider what guidance we could give to the courts to make sure that if they had to be in person, would they be safe coming and limiting the amount of exposure both to the participants and people that were visiting the courtrooms. So as you can imagine, in a state as large as Texas, we have so many issues to deal with in terms of capacity and population. You have some areas where you needed to have a lot of activity in the courtrooms and a lot of citizens showing up. In the rural areas, not so much. And so coming up with something that would work for everybody was a little challenging, but we did come up with that. Meanwhile, David was also working on the national front with people who wanted to experiment with jury trials and that were fully virtual. And that also took off May 8th. Then on May 27th, so the court had been prohibiting in-person jury trials. And if y'all will recall, for those of you that followed, the court has a limited amount of time. I believe they can, their orders can only be issued in 60-day increments. So when they would suspend them, everybody thought, well, when this one is lifted or expires, then we'll be able to go ahead and start having in-person proceedings. But instead, what would happen is they would issue another one, and it kept getting pushed out. So in-person jury trials would continue to be pushed out.